We have 5 people in Philippines right now. We need your prayer. It's not easy. It's really hard. I see the campus. It's really hard study. You have to wake at 5 o'clock in the morning. You cannot say you sleep in. In the morning, everything, sound and music is everywhere. In the girl dormitory, the staff place, the boy dormitory, at the place where I guest house, everyone have to wake up. And so I have to wake up, and when I walk them, they say, please, Pastor Vin, share with us the message this morning. Well, that's what I heard. And they go to bed at 10 o'clock. You cannot stay later than 10 o'clock. Light is shut down. Make sure you get finish your work before 10. Very strict diet, rice, a few food, just very basic. And amazing that young people have to go through that for 4 years. And amazing. I mean, people go through and see if they can go through this, they can go do ministry. And when they go out in the summer, they go to a very remote area, no electricity, no gas. They have to learn how to use wood to cook the food. Cold pouring is tough over there. You walk, you talk. If you don't know English, this is too bad, but you have to learn Tagalog over there. We have to talk the local language. So I think it's a wonderful trip. I learned so much. And please pray for some of the people over there that they're able to get training. So that's what the purpose. I go for 3 weeks, first time ever, and I enjoy every minute of it. I come and live in just one few weeks. We go so many islands. Every day I just sleep in different places. Island, take ferry, take bicycle, take tricycle, go wherever, you know. And people say, within 3 weeks, you go so many places, more than most of the Filipino, because there's so many places I have to attend. So that's let you know that. If one of you want to know more about it, sometime we have future trip, let me know. I'd love to take some of you to see some experience of that. It's wonderful, amazing, amazing how they train young people for Christ, and they're on fire for the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the way, with Philip, they have a singer group. They go out and sing everywhere, every day, different town, to win people to Christ. To advertisement, you run on the tricycle, you put a big megaphone, you drive all in town. There's no law against it, by the way. And so that's how you preach, that's how you sing, that's how you get present the message. Amazing, this is very different. I'm wondering, could we do this in the state or not? Anyway, thank you very much that the church allowed me to take a little time off to go on this trip. It's a blessing for me, and hopefully, with this, I share the same blessing back to the church here. Thank you. And special Christy, able to run the church while I'm gone. And I heard they do so well. And they say, Pastor Vin, go some more. I don't know. Anyway, the message I want to share with you this morning related to the communion service. I read some devotional thought about the Lord's Supper. It's so meaningful for me, and the title of this today I want to share is The Weight of God's Wrath. The Weight of God's Wrath. What does it mean by the weight of God's wrath? I thought of an illustration. It's hard for me to find an example to compare to this, but one of the illustration that I could use that I thought about it. And I think maybe young people can relate it to this illustration. Everyone probably in school already recently graduated. Just imagine, if you one of the student, right, very bright student, right, Philip? You enjoy study day and night. But all your friend is party and party before the final. And the teacher is very tough when he gives the final. As the day come, prepare for the final. And the final grade is like this, is grade by curve. You know what's curve? What is grade by curve? What the highest person grade, that's where they begin with 100%, right? By curve, which is good. Well, there's one young man, smartest in the class, always have the best grade, the highest grade. The second, third person, way far from him. Well, this young man decided he can do good on this final. Why he see his friend did not study enough and struggle in the final, he decided to go on the test to start to answer. When he saw the test, He said, this is so easy. Every single question is so easy. He can mark the question down. He knows he will get the perfect score. But he thought in his mind, the teacher will grade by, what do you call, curve? So he thought in his mind, if I did this, what happened? The whole class would be fail except me. So this young man decided, he knows the question is wrong, and he don't want to mark it, but he marked the wrong answer for every one of them. He marked every one of the answers wrong. That is out of his will. It's hurt him. He know what he's going through, but he marked it anyway. When the teacher saw the grade come out, surprisingly, this young man completely flung the final. He had the worst grade in the class. Were all the friends, party all night, able to make an A? Because the teacher grade on the curve. The student mocked at this student. Wow, I didn't know you that bad. Everyone laughed at him. But that very particular student did not say anything. He have saved the whole class. I thought of that with the student we have here. And I relate with Jesus. How did Jesus view sin? How did Jesus view God's wrath? Let me put you in perspective of being God's wrath. What does God's wrath mean? Do you know what wrath mean?
Anger.
Just imagine when God's wrath come upon the mankind when the day of the flood. How many people die on that day? Everyone except eight. That's meant thousand and thousand, if not million. That's when God's wrath. That's when God that come, that's mean kill everyone. Because sin's so ugly. It's a curse. That's why everyone die on God's wrath. In case you know how heavy is that, right? That's, wow, when you heard about that. What about God's wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah? Everyone in that city that morning dead. The wrath of God fire come down. Everyone would killed. Yep, I kept Lot and the two daughters. So let me ask you, what's God's wrath on the cross? You ever thought about that? The story what I'm saying to you, I want to share with you because it touched my heart that sometimes we don't know what God's wrath is all about. Jesus know exactly what the wages of sin. Do you know what the wages of sin is? Death. What does that mean? Sometimes we read that Romans chapter 6, 23, so simple. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We read so many times we can memorize it, but you know what mean death? Do you know what it means eternal death? Do you know eternal? That means you never, never see your loved one again. Go with me in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid, the wrath of God have laid on him. On who? On Jesus. The iniquity of how many people? Of us all. You know what killed Jesus? Is it the nail on the cross? Is it nail in his hand? Is it a crown, the thorn of crown on the cross? Or nail in his leg? No. Because even the Roman soldier was very surprised that he only was nailed the cross only a few hours and he already dead. Because the sin, because the iniquity of all of us had killed him. The wrath of God so strong killed everyone. Everyone. including the Son of God. The powerful wrath of God, the weight of the wrath of God, so heavy that you and I could not carry. And God want to take it all. That wrath is supposed to come to us on the end of time. But Jesus took them all 2,000 years ago. Took them all, including the one who rejected him. The weight of God's wrath. We have not been sin bearer. We could never understand the horror and the curse of sin. We could never understand the word could never able to portray the weight that Jesus Christ bear. We could never understand. There's no word can describe. But Jesus did that. Not even ask you for permission. Not even ask you, would you like me to take your sin away? He did anyway. He did anyway. Let me bring you to the Calvary right now. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Turn with me in the book of Luke chapter 23, verse 33. Here on the hill, when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, then they crucify him and the manufacturers, and one on the right hand and one on the left. Here's Jesus between the two thieves on the cross. What happened? If you just see the cross, if you see Christ there, you and I could never do anything but just kneel down and say, I'm sorry, Jesus. We can see the humble of Jesus on that cross. We may learn the lesson of his meekness and the lesson of his lowliness that we able to capture on that Mount Calvary. Look upon the cross, will you? Visit the Calvary one more time. Behold, you can see Jesus on the cross. Just one word of Jesus that he can call a legion of angels to stop all this. Stop all the people who scored at him. Stop all the people who mocked at him. But he did not. I can imagine the devil do everything to pile or get one word out of God. You know, Jesus, call upon your angels. And he have to hold down, you know. No, this is not my purpose to come here. It's my purpose to come here is to die for the human race. You look as he sacrificed for you. As people curses him. As people threaten him, accuses him, he not even opened his mouth. Yet he only opened his mouth to pray for those who nailed him on the cross. Pray for the murderer. Pray for those who curse him. He would not lose one whom he had purchased so great of a cost. He would not let anyone to be lost. No one. Not only that time, but even now. He's willing to do all that just for you and I. And he cried out, Fathers, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive who? Forgive who? Forgive not the Roman soldier, not the Pharisee, not who's cursing him. Forgive you and I. If only you or only me sin, Christ would die on the cross. So he died not for everyone per se, but he died for particularly you and I, everyone individually. If he have come down on the cross, you and I would not have eternal life. Why we yet sinner, he have died for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Before you even sin, before you even born, he ready pay for your sin. He ready absorb your sin to him. So when the wrath of God come to sinner, who will be the sinner? Who will be the sinner? Well, Jesus. Because there's no sin in you. See, the wrath of God, just like magnetic, right? It's coming down only where it is, where sin. Come exactly, penetrate where the sin locate. Where sin locate? On Jesus who bear error all the sin of the world. Do you understand the weight of sin? The weight of God's wrath upon sinner? And he cared all that for you and I. How can we not understand the view of Jesus on the cross? For 30 years, he walked on this earth. He had aimed for one purpose, and one purpose only, is to save you. I could not understand how can someone reject God, reject Jesus. Because Jesus did everything, paved the way, so that person won't ever taste death. I don't know how. Do you know how sad does Jesus feel? Do you know how sad? It's hurt him. Because he already paid. He paid for a very high price, which is his life. And men and women don't want to accept that. Decide to continue go on that road. Decide continue go that road. And I thought about this idea. I can imagine as I went to Philippines. And I kept my passport very tight in my pocket, you know. They said, do not let your passport loose. People would like to steal that passport. Let's say that I decided to give to someone. But if I give to someone, that means I would never enter back into my home. I would never see my family again. I would be outcast in Philippines, the most remote area that I don't have a home, that I live in a bare ground. But I'm willing, because this one particular person, I want him to go to America. And so I decided, hey, I'm going to erase my name to put your name on. I take off my picture and put your picture on. I want to give you this passport because I know you need it more than me. But after I give to him, he say, I don't like this. I want to throw the trash. How's that feel? How does it make me feel? I did everything. He don't know how much it cost me to get this. Do you know how much God cost God to give you eternal life? He did everything. He already took your death. And if you don't want to take eternal life, it's how much it's hurt him. He did everything for you. You and I don't know how much it cost. That particular young man didn't know how much it cost me. I ruined my life. I lost everything for him, and he did not know. But I never say anything. I never scream at him. I never upset with him. I just plead with him. I have paid all for you. Go. I remember a story, a true story about a woman in the prison who took Bible study. After I talked with her through writing letters, I understand the real story, and this is what happened. As she came to America, bringing some of the children, her children, and the children were not really good and not focused on study, and decided to go around and try to steal things from the store. Oh, they stole quite a few things they put into the house. Well, it doesn't take too long. The police traced to the home who stole all these goods. The police go into the home, and the mother was there. And asked, "Mother, can we check your house?" I said, "Go ahead, there's nothing here. What do we do?" Well, they find a lot of stolen things in there. And so mother asked, "Mother, where are these goods come from?" And you know what the mother said? "I stole it. I stole them." Well, you know the story. She put in prison for that. The children know. The mother paid a big price for that. But the mother, until the day she died, she never told anyone. No one in the world know the sacrifice that mother have done for the children. No one will know how much Christ have died for you and I. Doesn't matter how much the Bible can describe how much Christ have paid the high price for you. You will never understand. We'll never understand enough until we go to heaven. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, say this: "He despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our face." Who hid our face from him? That means we don't want to see Jesus. Oh, how ugly! All the blood, all the scarf. I don't want to see it. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In John chapter 1, say this: that he came to his own, and his own what? Rejected him. His own, the one he created. The one he loved, the one he died for, rejected him. Sometimes we think that, oh, that person is so ugly, that, oh, I don't want that. But we know that person took your ugliness, took your sin, but you did not know. Oh, the weight of God's wrath is hard. It's hard. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God." You know, back in the Pharisee time, you know, they say that, oh, that person got cursed, that person got sick, it's because the wrath of God fell upon them. And some people think about that today. But little we know that God took that for us. And God was afflicted. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." He took them all. How much did he took? How can someone reject Jesus when Jesus have paid everything for him or her? How about those who follow Jesus, who are Christian for so many years? Do we want to walk back in the old road? I thought of the time that I went to Hawaii. My wife and I were able to save this woman from drowning. And during that cost, her husband died in the ocean. I might forgot the image that I saved someone. But I believe that woman will never, never, never forget the image that she lost her husband in Hawaii. I could almost say to you, she do not want to go visit Hawaii. That's somehow a curse upon her. That was a nightmare. She would never want to hear that word again, Hawaii. If we know how much Jesus have walked that path to save you, how can we walk back the same path where we have sinned? We don't want to go that road again. We dare not. Jesus has paid them all. For those who have not known Christ, maybe this is a time we look again at the Calvary. For those who know Christ, let's think about it. Is your robe washed with the blood of Christ? Or you still carry your old robe? How is your life today? Christ already cleansed. You know, just like if I have a kid, I just put in the machine, clean it off. Right? Dirty. And how many wash your clothes? You know, right? You know, wash clothes. You know, commercial Tide or all that? Dirty, throw the washing machine, beautiful. Next minute, took out and get dirty again. Just like Jesus cleaned everything, and here we want to jump back into the mud again. How can we do that? Do you know how much it costs to have this spotless gown? How much it costs to have a pure robe? It's cost Jesus' life. Yes, you and I don't want to have this spotless gown to be dirty again. Our life will not go back to the old way. As I ponder upon the wrath of God that Jesus Christ bear them all. I told you the first wrath of God during the Noah time. The second wrath of God fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know there's a third wrath of God coming down on this earth at the end time? Either you accept Jesus Christ, who took all the wrath at the end time, or who already did, or you decided to take your own merit at the end time. It's your call. Just like Joshua said, for me and my house, I serve my Lord. Are you serve Jesus today? He bear everything. I pray you accept him, because the end time, it's not like the first or second. It's deathly. And Jesus have did everything to save us. I hope every one of you accept his sacrifice. So when he come back, the wrath of God is not on us. No more. The reward is to heaven. God come back just to take us home. That's his goal. God come back, want to send wrath. God want to destroy. God want to take all home. But very sadly, not everyone to choose that road. I pray you and I would choose a road, go home with Jesus. Would you? Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, we just want to say thank you that you took the wrath of God on the cross for us. We supposed to deserve it. But we have not thought enough. You jump before us to take all the wrath that's supposed to come to us because you love us so much. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you have died for all of us here, every one of us. Help us understand at the cross of Calvary how much that you went through, that we embrace you every day, every night, that we will never, never walk in the old path again, never reject you, but totally accepted you. You have took our death so that we can have your eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.